title of today's message is, Should a Christian Be Anti-Semitic? You know, what does a typical person say when you tell them about clean and unclean foods, or when you tell them about the holy days, or when you tell them about the Sabbath? You know, Caleb said several replies that he got, and I typically get one of those replies repeatedly. And what usually is said to me, well, that's Jewish. And it's not usually said with a smile on their face. It's usually with a snarl and with a bad expression. That's Jewish. You know, should a Christian be anti-Semitic? Seems like a stupid question to me. Because the original Christian, Jesus Christ, Yahshua the Messiah, was a Jew. However, I have heard anti-Semitic comments from people claiming to be Christians. What does the word anti-Semitic mean? It means against the Jews or anti-Jewish. Now, what does Scripture teach us about the Jews and God's relationship with them? And how does God expect us as Christians to treat the Jews? Well, let's start with the Messiah. Even though he was a Jew, did he hate his own people and believe that we should be against them? Let's start in John 4:19-24. John 4:19-24 scriptures that will sound familiar to you from this morning's message from Mr. Dryman. We must be on the same wavelength again, you reckon? Verse 19, the woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in Spirit and truth. Did you catch that? The Messiah believes it is the Jews' destiny that salvation would be of them. God chose the nation of Israel, of which Judah is a part, for a very important purpose. Most of the world today has forgotten or fails to understand that very special purpose. Do we as Christians understand that purpose? That's what this message is really about. The true destiny of the nation of Judah. How many people in the world today understand and believe what that purpose is? We as Christians should know. Should we be angry with the Jews because they had our Messiah killed? Should we be mad at them for that? Some religions are. Come with me to Matthew 27:22-25. Matthew 27:22-25. Pilate said to them, What then shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? They all said to him, Let him be crucified. Then the governor said, Why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, saying, Let him be crucified. And Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that the tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. And all the people answered and said, His blood be on us and our children. You know, they asked, that the Messiah's blood be placed on their heads and their children's head. Some might read this scripture and think we should hold the Jews accountable for the terrible mistake of crucifying the Messiah. However, is that how the Messiah himself felt about it? We find the answer to that in Luke 23:27-34. Luke 23:27-34. Jesus tells us what he thought. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the greenwood, what will be done in the dry?" There were also two other criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, they were crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. The Messiah did not want them held accountable for this sin, because they did not really realize what they were doing, did they? The Messiah was not surprised that they rejected him, because it was prophesied to occur. And God worked it out that way for his own purpose. I wonder if you know what that purpose is. Psalms 118:21-23. Psalms 118:21-23. "I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." The Messiah quoted this psalm shortly before his death, realizing it was being fulfilled, maybe in the way that Mark was telling us about the way the scriptures are reading. According to the Dead Sea Scrolls Bible, the Jews have a tradition of singing certain psalms on Passover evening, and this psalm is supposed to be one of those psalms. Imagine the disciples hearing the Messiah quoting this verse shortly before Passover and the night of him being taken. They might well have sung this very psalm right after the Passover service. Notice the psalm stating, "This was the Lord's doing," showing this was how God intended for it all to work out. Because of the majority of the Jews' rejection of the Messiah, the door to salvation was open to Gentiles too. This allows for Gentiles to be first fruits, to be grafted in among the Jews. Matthew 21:33-46. Matthew 21:33-46. Hear another parable. "There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased it to the vine dressers and went into a far country. Now when vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance.' So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? This was Jesus asking the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they said to him, he will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their season. And Jesus said to them, have you never read in the Scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, and whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. Now when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parable, they perceived that he was speaking of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitudes because they took him for a prophet. Quite frankly, brethren, it would be foolish for Christians to hold this against the Jews. Because we as true Christians should realize it really was each one of us and our sins that killed the Messiah. Not really the Jews or the Romans, but you and me and our sins that he had to die for. That's why Passover is such a sober event for true Christians. Because we realize that we are ultimately responsible for the death of the Messiah. Because of our sin that his blood had to wash away. We should remember that the Jews helped produce our Messiah. Because he was half Jew. Of all the nations and peoples of the world, our Father in heaven chose the nation of Israel and the tribe of Judah to be the bearer of our Savior. That is a great honor for the Jews. It's a pity that they rejected him. But that was prophesied. And our Messiah was not surprised at this. He knew it would happen. And also notice the Messiah's admonition that it would be taken from them and given to one that bears fruits. The Apostle Paul makes this even more clear in Romans 1, 16 through 17. Romans 1, 16 through 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just live by faith. Notice Paul did not say to the Jew only. He said to the Jew first. They get the first shot. But if they turn down that shot, then the door is opened to Gentiles. Not only are the Jews the first to have the opportunity for salvation, they are also the first to suffer the punishment of God's wrath for rebelling. We read about it in Romans 2:11. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things, but we know that the judgment of God is according to the truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impotent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of the man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. Paul was called to preach to Israel and to the Gentiles. The Jews' rejection of the chief cornerstone, who was Christ, opened the door for Gentiles to be grafted in as first fruits. If anything, Gentiles should be grateful for God allowing the Jews to make this mistake, because it gives Gentiles the great opportunity to be a first fruit, an opportunity that many of the Jews are passing up today, and it's being given to Gentiles. Acts 9:10-16. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, "Ananias?" And he said, "Here I am, Lord." So the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Paul did first preach to the Jews. And when they rejected the gospel, he then went to the Gentiles, just as God said from the start. Acts 18:6-8. "But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, 'Your blood be upon your own head, hands. Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on I will go to the Gentiles.' And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Now although the Jews may reject the Messiah for the moment, the day will come when they will see him for who he is, and they will accept him as the Messiah." We read about this in Zechariah 12:7-14. Zechariah 12:7-14. "The Lord will save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall not become greater than that of Judah. In that day the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The one who is feeble among them in that day shall be like David, and the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord before him. It shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me, whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. And that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem like the mourning of Hadad Ramon in the plain of Megiddo. And the land shall mourn every family by itself, the family of the house of David by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Nathan by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Levi by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of Shimei by itself, and the wives by themselves. All the families that remain, every family by itself, and their wives by themselves. And eventually, not at first, but eventually, the entire world will look to Judah as an example. And you may be wondering, why Judah? Why Judah? Why? Psalm 78, 1 through 72, helps give us the answer. Psalm 78, 1 through 72. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt and the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the water stand up like a heap. In the daytime also he led them with the cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. But they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. And they tested God in their heart by asking for food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness?" Behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. "Can he give us bread also? Can he provide meat for his people?" Therefore the Lord heard this and was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. Yet he had commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven, had rained down manna on them to eat, and given them the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He also rained meat on them, like the dust, feathered fowl, like the sand of the sea, and he let them fall in the midst of their camp, all around their dwelling. So they ate and were filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not deprived of their craving, but while their food was still in their mouths, the wrath of God came against them and slew the stoutest of them. and struck down the choice men of Israel. In spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wondrous works. Therefore their days he consumed in futility and their years in fear. When he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and sought earnestly for God. Then they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongue. For their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. But he, being filled full of compassion, forgave their iniquity for their lawlessness, and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power, the day when he redeemed them from the enemy, when he worked his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, turned the rivers into blood into streams that they could not drink. He sent swarms of flies among them which devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them. He also gave their crops to the caterpillar and their labor to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost. He also gave up their cattle to the hail and the flocks to the fiery lightning. He cast on them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble by sending angels of destruction among them. He made a path for his anger. He did not spare their souls from death, but gave their life over for the plague and destroyed all the firstborn in Egypt, the firstborn of their strength in the tents of Ham. But he made his own people go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock, and he led them on safely so that they did not fear, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And he brought them to his holy border, this mountain which his right hand had acquired. He also drove out the nations before them, allotted them an inheritance by survey, and made the tribes of Israel dwell in their tents. Yet they tested and provoked the Most High God, and did not keep his testimonies, but turned back and acted unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow. For they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their carved images. When God heard this, he was furious and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent he had placed among men. And he delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hand. He also gave his people over to the sword and was furious with his inheritance. The fire consumed their young men, and their maidens were not given in marriage. The priests fell by the sword, and the widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord awoke as from sleep, like a mighty man who shouts because of wine, and he beat back his enemies. He put them to a perpetual reproach. Moreover, he rejected the tent of Joseph and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth, which he has established forever. He also chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes that had young he brought to him, to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. We know from prophecy that King David will be raised and once again be ruler over Israel. We read of that in Ezekiel 37, 21 through 28. Ezekiel 37, 21 through 28. Then say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations wherever they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over them all. They shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they ever be divided into two kingdoms again. They shall not defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with the detestable things, nor with any of the transgressions. But I will deliver them from all the dwelling places in which they have sinned, and I will cleanse them. Then they shall be my people, and I will be their God. David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Then they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob, my servant, where your fathers dwelt. And they shall dwell there, they, their children, and their children's children, forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in the midst forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The nations also will know that I, Yahweh, sanctify Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forevermore. But you know, some things must happen before the Jews are joined with Israel and come to that position. First, they must be humbled and come to repentance. Now, how do you suppose our Father in heaven is going to bring that about? You don't have to wonder. Scripture reveals it clearly for us. Isaiah 1:1 through 34. Isaiah 1:1 through 34. The vision of Isaiah the son of Amos, which he saw concerning who? Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, laden with lawlessness, abroad of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken Yahweh. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land and your presence, and it is desolate, is overthrown by strangers. So the daughters of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a hut in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been made like Gomorrah. Hear the word of Yahweh, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is a multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure lawlessness and the sacred meeting. They don't go together. It doesn't matter how you sugarcoat it. Lawlessness and the sacred meaning, God cannot stand. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken. How the faithful city has become a harlot. It is full of justice, righteousness, lawlessness, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross, your wine mixed with water. Your princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and follows after rewards. They do not defend the fatherless, nor does the cause of the widow come before them. Therefore the Lord says, Yahweh of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will rid myself of my adversaries and take vengeance on my enemies. I will turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away all your alloy. I will restore your judges as at first and your counselors as at the beginning. Afterward you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with justice and her penitence with righteousness. The destruction of transgressors and of sinners shall be together, and those who forsake the Lord shall be consumed. For they shall be ashamed of the terebinth trees which you have desired, and you shall be embarrassed because of the gardens which you have chosen. For you shall be as a terebinth whose leaf fades, and as a garden that has no water. The strong shall be as tinder, and the work of it as a spark. Both will burn together, and no one shall quench them. God is going to use the Gentile nations to punish Israel. Since God is going to punish Judah, should we be glad about this? I mean, it's God's will, so should we just take advantage of this opportunity while we can? Hey, they're down. Let's get them. Well, I'll tell you what. Esau thinks so. And Esau will do just that. But how is God going to respond to Esau taking advantage of the Jews' plight? We find the answer to that in Obadiah 1:1-21. Obadiah 1:1-21. The vision of Obadiah, thus says the Lord God concerning Edom, we have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger has been sent among the nations, saying, arise and let us rise up against her for battle. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You shall be greatly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, you who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Though you ascend as high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from where I will bring you down, says the Lord. If thieves had come to you with robbers by night, oh, how you would be cut off. Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If grape gatherers had come to you, would they not have left something, some gleanings? Oh, how Esau shall be searched out, how his hidden treasure shall be sought after. All the men in your confederacy shall force you to the border. The men at peace with you shall deceive you and prevail against you. Those who eat your bread shall lay a trap for you. No one is aware of it. Will I not in that day, says the Lord, even destroy the wise men from Edom and the understanding from the mountains of Esau? Then your mighty men, O Teman, should be dismayed to the end that everyone from the mountains of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. And why to the end of everyone the mountains of Esau may be cut off for slaughter? Why is Esau cut off for slaughter? Why is God going to do that? For violence against your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. And the day that you stood on the other side, and the day that strangers carried captive his forces, when foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, even you were as one of them. But you should not have gazed on the day of your brother and the day of his captivity, nor should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah and the day of their destruction. Nor should you have spoken proudly in the days of distress. You should not have entered the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Indeed, you should not have gazed on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. You should not have stood at the crossroads to cut off those among them who escaped, nor should you have delivered up those among them who remained in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord upon all nations is near. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reprisal shall return upon your own head. For as you drank on my holy mountain, so shall all the nations drink continually. Yes, they shall drink and swallow, and they shall be as though they had never been. But on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. The house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, but the house of Esau shall be stubble. They shall kindle them and devour them, and no survivor shall remain in the house of Esau. For Yahweh has spoken. The south shall possess the mountains of Esau, and the lowlands shall possess Philistine. They shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria. Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captives of this host of the children of Israel shall possess the land of the Canaanites as far as Zarephath. The captives of Jerusalem who are in Sepharad shall possess the cities of the south. Then Savior shall come to Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom shall be Yahweh's. One day, God will bring Judah and Israel out of captivity, and their oppressors will not be so gleeful. Joel 3:1-21. For behold, in those days and at that time when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land. They have cast lots for my people, have given a boy as payment for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine that they may drink. Indeed, what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon and all the coast of Philistine? Will you retaliate against me? But if you retaliate against me swiftly and speedily, I'll return your retaliation upon your own head, because you have taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my prized possessions. Also, the people of Judah and the people of Jerusalem, you have sold to the Greeks, that you may remove them far from their borders. Behold, I will raise them out of the place to which you have sold them, and I will return your retaliation upon your own head. I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the people of Judah, and they will sell them to the Sabines, to a people far off. For Yahweh has spoken. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble and come, all you nations, and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be awakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come down. Come, go down. For the winepress is full, the vats overflow. For their wickedness is great. Multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people and a strength for the children of Israel. So shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then Jerusalem shall be holy, and no alien shall ever pass through her again. And it will come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drip with new wine, the hills shall flow with milk, and all the brooks of Judah shall be flooded with water. A fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord and water the valley of the Acacias. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom a desolate wilderness. Why? Why do they become this way? Because of violence against the people of Judah. For they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall abide forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. For I will acquit them of the guilt of bloodshed, whom I had not acquitted. For the Lord dwells in Zion. The world will one day look to the Jews as a model people. They will be hired for beasts. There was no peace from enemy from whoever went out or came in. For I set all men, everyone, against his neighbor. But now I will not treat the remnant of his people as in the former days, says the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give its fruit, the ground shall give her increase, the heavens shall give their due, I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all things, all these. It shall come to pass that just as you were a curse among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you, and you shall be a blessing. Do not fear. Let your hands be strong. For thus says the Lord of hosts, just as I determined to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says the Lord of hosts, and I would not relent, so again in these days I am determined to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Do not fear. These are the things you shall do. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Give judgment in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. Let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor, and do not love a false oath. For all these are things that I hate, says the Lord. Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth month, the fast of the seventh month, the fast of the tenth month, shall be joy and gladness and cheerful feasts for the house of Judah. Therefore love truth and peace. Thus says the Lord of hosts, people shall yet come, inhabit many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us continue to go and pray before Yahweh and seek the Lord of hosts. I myself will go also. Yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek Yahweh of hosts in Jerusalem and pray for the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, interesting scripture, in those days, 10 men from every language of the nation shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Should a Christian be anti-Semitic? The answer from Scripture is clearly no. We should not. God did not choose Israel and Judah as his special nation because they are such a great people. No, he chose them in spite of themselves and because they are descendants of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he will not hold them guiltless for turning away from him until they repent. The fury of God can be devastating when it finally comes. A true Christian should be sympathetic and merciful to the Jews, realizing that one day the Jews will be joined again with the Israelites and will be one nation and be filled with the Holy Spirit. They will be the first peoples of the world, of the physical world, to repent when the Messiah returns. And when they do repent, they will be ruled by resurrected King David and be God's model nation in the millennial rule of the Messiah. In that day, those who curse Israel will be cursed, and those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who will dare to persecute the Jews and Israel beyond what God allows are going to pay a terrible price. Let's be sure, as true Christians, we're not anti-Semitic, but instead realize and respect God's special work in dealing with His people. The next time you try to explain the holy days, or clean and unclean meats, or the Sabbath day, and someone says to you, well, that's Jewish, you might ask them if they're a Christian, and if they know Scripture. And they'll probably say, if they think they're a Christian, yes, I'm a Christian, and I know Scriptures. Then ask them, do you know that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, your Savior, was a Jew? If they reply, of course I know this, then you might reply, do you not know that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, a Jew, and your Savior, stated in the Scriptures that salvation is of the Jews. And I believe him. And I think you should too.